Hello, everybody. It is April 15th, 2013, and you're listening to episode 28 of Free to Play, the podcast that other podcasts copy trailers for our podcast.com. I'm Brian Belita. What?
.com.
I'm Brian Belita.com, and tonight I'm joined by ImranKhan.com.
Nobody buy professionallypodcasting.com because I'm probably going to get that. No, and then redirected to Nitro Beer.
It's professionalpodcasts.com. No, wait, no. No, professionalpodcasting.com.
I'm trying to throw them off my scent.
I mean professionalpodblasting.net.
God damn you, Danica Patrick.
Don't buy the .net domain. We're also joined by mattpierce.com.
Homestarrunner.net. It's .com.
And the internet.com, famous RyanBloom.com.
I have gained sentience.
.com. I'm sure that site probably exists. Everything.com. Man, websites.com.
So I have gained sentience does not exist.
So, Brian, you'll appreciate this because you make web pages for a living.
Okay.
I overheard some people in my office talking about a web page that they're working on, and like, well, the thing we designed on paper has space for 18 items, but I think we'll have to cut it down to 16 to fit it on the web. It's like, oh God, what are you designing and what are you going to force me to build next week?
Right, and this is one of these things that you don't have a...
Oh, only 18 items on your homepage? Is that all?
Vertically aligned with
I
eight
sidebars. I think
that's
in one box on this homepage.
Yeah.
See, I'm waiting for the generation of people who grew up making websites in the 90s to actually start being the bosses. So I'd be like, can you put frames in this? Frames are great.
Oh God, we all hate that.
I love tables.
What if this part scrolled, but this background didn't?
Iframes. I feel like I didn't do Ryan a justice in his introduction. He's probably, do you think you're probably most well known for your Sonic video?
At this point, yeah, it's kind of weird.
And what was the title of that video, Ryan?
Here's why Sonic the Hedgehog is a... No,
Sonic the Hedgehog
is a bad game, and here's why, yeah. It's been like 3 years since I made that.
That was a while ago. But, no, Ryan does a lot of cool stuff. He makes videos and...
video games.
Yeah, he's working on a video game right now. And do you want to talk about that?
I'm working on three video games right now.
What?
Oh. Technically, it's all funneling into one game. An old friend of mine is making an iPhone game, and he wants like little game cartridges hidden around his world. So he asked me to create a bunch of little arcade-like mini games, and I have to do three of them for him. And my deadline's getting kind of close at this point, and I still have one game yet to make.
And you've made game before, right?
Yeah, I've been making fan games and like little side projects and things since about 2001.
Didn't you do like a really slick 2D version of Sonic the Hedgehog based off the artwork for Sonic 2006?
Yeah, kind of. That was... I'm not entirely proud of that.
It came out good.
Neither is Sega.
it came out all right, but... That was a weird one. I was working on what I considered to be the final release, and then I had a hard drive crash, and I lost the game data for like 4 years.
We should mention that we always make fun of Ryan for his hardware woes, because for like the longest time, he was on like a running 800x600 resolution on a CRT monitor or something, and he's making these incremental Frankenstein upgrades that probably shouldn't even work and somehow do, and yet you win a lot of things. Or maybe that's just a trope that we've, or I don't know. Is trope the right word?
Forum truth?
Forum truth, thank you. That's the thing I was looking for.
Well, I don't know. I guess I do kind of win a lot of contests and stuff, but that's because I enter a lot of them.
That's true. That's a good point. Well, but not only that, but most of these contests have involved, either doing some sort of artwork or making a video or I don't know. And you do good work, so.
Here's how popular Ryan is. I will be on... IRC chat rooms totally removed, like people who have never met him, and I'll post a link to his Tumblr and be like, oh, I saw that Blaze posted that earlier. Like, how did that happen?
Well, I know, Blaze.
That's also this weird thing where, like, platformers is somehow crossing over with my other groups of friends somehow, and I'm not entirely sure why or how.
Yeah, Plat has spread in weird ways. I see stuff from random platformers elsewhere on the internet. It's like, wait, do I? Oh, yeah, I do know you from somewhere.
Like, I met somebody yesterday who knows Andy McClure. It's like, what?
Yeah, huh. She's really, like, she's another crossover from, like, totally removed things. Like, oh, I know her, too.
She's just, like, chatting up with, like, Terry Cavanaugh and stuff.
Yeah.
I know she was really happy because Niflis, the creator of, is it Knight Stories, like KNYTT Knit, yeah. And what was the ball game that Niflis made? I can't remember what it's called, but that was like one of the first indie games I ever played, or maybe at least one of the most memorable ones. And
but you can't remember the name of.
Nah, it's really bad. I have to look this up. But I know she was really happy because Niflis had played Jumpman, and had fun with it. So that's neat.
Yeah, yeah, I remember going to some random Tumblr that they mentioned on Giant Bomb once, and like half the pictures in that Tumblr were just of Jumpman.
but Ryan is one of the internet celebrities that we know, and he does good work. He did a lot of videos as far as like you find like a lot of weird like Sonic bugs and post them up, and there are a lot of Sonic bugs. So it probably keeps you busy.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know. I'm kind of a weirdo who, one of the games I replay the most are Sonic games. Like, I play other stuff all the time. We'll get to that when we get to what we've been playing. But when I just have free time and I don't know what to do, I just load up a Sonic game and just run around. It's weird.
That's cool. You should do that. Do you have a site?
Me and my cousin used to run, well, I say used to, but we're thinking about it. We used to run a Let's Play channel thing, and we haven't paid the hosting bill in about a month, so we don't have a website right now.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, you do some fun Let's Plays, and I think probably, at least, I don't know, my favorite one, that Leaf Did a Scene, and maybe it's the only one, is your Max Payne, which has seen its host of issues.
Yeah, we had this thing where we called it the Max Payne curse, where it seemed like everything was preventing us from getting that Let's Play done, including, in fact, my computer hardware problems. I have the last half of the Let's Play sitting on a hard drive right here next to me, but we just haven't had the time to get to it and post it and render it and everything.
Is the hard drive sitting next to a snake trap?
No, thankfully, I think we've snake-proofed the house now, so...
Okay, good. Well, anyway, so check out his stuff. Just search for Sonic the Hedgehog is a bad game, and here's why. And you can find some of Ryan's stuff.
You can also probably find the archive of last year's Sonic.
Oh, yeah,
stream.
That's right. The Sonic 2006 charity stream that
Imran, it works both ways.
It works both ways that Imran and Ryan ran together. That was pretty neat. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should do stuff like that again. And I guess you also write for TSSZnews.com, right?
Yes, I do. I started as the reviews editor, but now I'm the managing editor, which is like second in command. Ooh.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Well, so, so editors and stuff.
Do you have any like awesome Sega links to dump on us now?
Not really. It's kind of a slow time. Everybody keeps waiting for the next Sonic game to get announced, and Sega's being really quiet on it for some reason.
Yeah, I love that big furor like at around January. Like, oh, it's definitely going to get announced in February.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a name yet, but it's almost done. Everyone's like, wait a second, what?
Yeah.
Why does it not have a name? And then it wasn't announced.
It's Sonic Dimensions, man. None of you will probably get that, except maybe Imran.
I remember that rumor. I was kind of hoping because it sounded kind of funny with like the super emo Shadow.
Emo,
like,
yeah.
Like a
oh,
fat
oh
Sonic
Shadow, like the character, the Hedgehog.
Yeah,
Shadow.
Yeah.
Got it. I understand now.
Video games.
.com. So I want to talk about Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon because it's really weird.
All right,
it's cool. So, I think it looks rad because I kind of relish in that 80s pulp, but it's weird that it's a game called Far Cry 3 came out and was, you know, in some crazy island and it's just tropical shit and animals and bows and arrows and real guns and mercenaries, and then here we are in this like 80s pulpy the cyber future robot machine glowy neon lights game called Far Cry 3.
See, the thing I think that drives me nuts about this is I'm all okay with the idea of 80s nostalgia, but that game does not evoke any 80s nostalgia for me.
It's well, it's because it's a modern day spoof of 80s.
I don't know. I just 80s don't
nostalgia,
see it.
If that makes sense.
Like, maybe I was watching different movies.
Like, do you guys know who Major Lazer is?
No.
A little bit.
He's this crazy, I guess, musician, has really wacky videos that involve, like, you know, scissoring and, like, dry humping contests. But anyways, there's one that's animated in kind of that same way. It, you know, it's like a G.I. Joe and, like, laser rifles and stuff. And it's kind of like a throwback to the 80s, but it's modern. I can't really explain it. It's weird. But
I like the idea of, like, things from the, like, how we imagine the future would be in the 80s.
Yeah.
As if all that stuff were a constant. Like, oh, we're just totally going to lean into neon lights.
We need them. We're going to need them because we're going to need to see.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
If somebody wanted to, like, give me, like, the future of the 80s, give me, like, the space station from The Last Starfighter. You know, give me that sort of stuff.
Well, I mean, I'm interested in this because Far Cry 3 was a really nice playing game that had the stupidest, most self-serious story possible. And I stress that both of those are important to how bad it was, because they really took that shit seriously. And now that it's not serious, now that it's like, hey, I'm going to roll D20 and all these scientists and nerds are going to look at it. That's funny to me because fuck Far Cry 3's story.
Yeah.
That sounds fair.
I don't know for sure, but is it standalone?
Yeah.
It is. Which Arcade. Is even weirder. It's even more weird. Like, why even have the Far Cry 3 name?
I just don't think it looks very fun because it's really dark. Like, you can't see anything. Like, the whole game is overcast with these red clouds, and...
Well, it's the future, I mean.
Yeah, but I'd like to be able to see where I'm going, what I'm shooting at. I guess they kind of try and make up for that by giving everybody these neon lights all over their bodies, but
right.
I don't know.
I wonder to what extent that's just, they're like Turoking the game. Like, okay, you can't see this far away, so we don't have to render that far away.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seemed like there was a good, healthy amount of fog.
Again, Turoking the game.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they're testing. Maybe they're doing a test, and if it does well, they're going to put out some, you know, fucking 80s pulpy sci-fi future first-person shooter.
Yeah. Just give me a game that looks like the Mars parts of Total Recall.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, there is a game coming out called Mars Warlogs, which I don't know, for some reason in that, like, I know they're saying like a chronicle, like a log, a, you know, a recording of an event, but every time, maybe it's because it's multiple, it's logs. I just think of, you know, cut down trees. Mars War, cut down trees. Well, anyways, but that looks really neat and looks like what you were talking about, like Total Recall Mars. So that's a cool thing.
Give these people the ear.
I watched some video the other day that was just like every single scream that Arnold's ever done in every movie. Yeah, it was pretty wonderful.
How was the new Total Recall? I assume shitty.
I didn't see it. I assume it would be exactly what you wanted to be, which would be, you know, rad, senseless action. But, I mean, it depends what you define as shitty.
Not good.
But
not entertaining.
Well, yeah, I could see how this could be bad if they took it seriously. Like, the same problem with Far Cry.
I was going to say, the Far Cry 3 of movies.
Yeah. That seems to be like a common thread. And maybe we'll get into this when we get into what we're playing now, but the thing I can't stand about Tomb Raider so far is how goddamn serious that game is.
Right.
But I hope if they optioned Far Cry 3 into a movie, they would just call it Far Cry 3.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah.
I wonder if they'll get U-Bowl for that. I've seen that U-Bowl Far Cry movie. It's so bad.
It's really bad. It's super bad.
I bought it for a dollar.
All right. Well, that's not. That's probably worth it to see, at least just for $1. I think I saw it for free. It might have been on Netflix Instant or something like that. But speaking of the Far Cry 3 of movies, Imran was tweeting. I don't like saying that, but
Twitter ranting.
He was Twitter pating about people just comparing. Everything is compared to Dark Souls now.
Yeah, I mean, like, people make these shorthand things, like, oh, this anonymous communication is a little like Dark Souls. It's like, you don't need to say that. You could just say this anonymous communication is a thing. It's anonymous.
Right.
This happens in video games now.
Well, it's weird. It's like is Dark Souls the perfect game? Because you'd think.
Well, my response on that to Twitter was, this is a lot like Dark Souls in that it's way less popular than the internet seems to think it is.
Right.
Like, it seems like there's a certain group of people who really care about and connect with Dark Souls, and they're the ones writing reviews, but the sales numbers don't back that up, so those reviews don't make any sense to a lot of people.
I mean, it did 2.5 million. That's pretty decent. It's just not. It's not like Skyrim 12 million, whatever, Modern Warfare. It's just, I remember when Skyward Sword was coming out, and there's a difficulty in Skyward Sword, which is basically, it's more difficult than the main game, and like it puts you through boss rushes and stuff like that. And I remember the preview saying it's a lot like Dark Souls, and then I played it, and it's nothing like Dark Souls.
Not only that, it's just, but if there is a game to be like, it would be Zelda. Much more well-known game.
Well, and further,
you could just say this is like Zelda, but more difficult, and that's fine. You can make that comparison easily. I understand what the idea of more difficult Zelda is.
Yeah. Well, to further Matt's point, like, what if somebody hasn't played Dark Souls? Then that then that comparison is just not helpful. I mean, and you know, the people that are writing reviews just assume that people have played Dark Souls or know what Dark Souls is.
And it might even give.
So you're right.
Like,
it is lazy.
This sensation that Dark Souls is something that it's not.
Yeah.
I hate to go back to work examples again, but I get this a lot at work where someone's like, I want you to make this like this instead of describing what they actually want. And it always comes out wrong because I took the wrong thing away from it.
I think there was a scene in, maybe it was the Dead Poets. Is Dead Poets Society the one with Robin Williams?
Yes.
Yes. Where he's talking about, you know, don't say very sad, say morose, you know, because it's
lazy. He's also talking
about
how language is a way to get women to go
right.
to bed with you.
True. that is true. Is Dark Souls the way to get women to sleep with you? Find out in this article on Kotaku.com.
See, dating is a lot like Dark Souls because you run into anonymous strangers occasionally and then they kill you.
And they stab you in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Twitter is a lot like Dark Souls. Because every message that I come upon is incoherent and I don't quite understand what it's referencing.
Praise the sun.
And some of them are traps.
And some of them. How many of us have played Dark Souls? I have.
I haven't gotten very far. But I mean, I like the game for what it is. I'm not bashing Dark Souls in any way.
Well, Dark Souls or Demon Souls, I would say.
Yeah. It's just when people say it's like Dark Souls, they mean anonymous messages or difficulty. And those are two concepts that are not hard to explain without the words Dark Souls.
Right.
Yeah, it seems a very... I don't think it's a bad game. I haven't played it, but I've heard great things from a ton of people. But it seems like a really odd choice to be the go-to comparison for everything. It's basically become the construction worker flashcards in Futurama, where everything can be demonstrated as a version of this construction worker.
Yeah. Well, it's weird. I was talking about actually sort of something like this with my friend who I met for lunch today. And I can't, oh God, fuck, what game was it that he was saying was just, I think it was, oh right, he had picked up Fire Emblem, the new one for 3DS.
Mm.
And he was, you know, he was telling me it was difficult and kind of losing people. I was making the comparison that Dark Souls or Demon Souls is really, really hard, but the repercussions aren't that bad. And, you know, whereas something like Fire Emblem, I don't know, I guess he was really upset with, you know, that, you know, just these people, you could just lose them outright on a whim and then they're gone. I don't know where I'm going with this.
You're saying like Fire Emblem is like Dark Souls.
Fire Emblem is, yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Fire Emblem is like Dark Souls with worse repercussions. or punishment. Yeah. That's my review of Dark Souls. Or Fire.
Like, I remember one of the person saying, like, Persona 4 Golden is like Dark Souls because there's a thing where you can get support from other people who are playing online. Like, you never meet them, you never hear them, they just occasionally, like, yay, win battle.
It seems like if you have to explain that that is the way in which it is like Dark Souls, you could have just left the Dark Souls part out if you're explaining it anyway.
Yeah. It's weird. It's, I think Dark Souls has become the Citizen Kane of, like, the actual Citizen Kane of video games.
Yeah.
I was thinking more like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Okay.
How can we relate this to Dark Souls?
Can we relate anything to Dark Souls?
Batman has forward movement with an analog stick. So does Dark Souls.
Yeah.
Sold. Oh, Batman.
Yeah. Origins. Arkham Origins got announced.
Yeah.
Not by Rocksteady.
Not by Rocksteady. But I don't know. Are they using the same engine? Or, I mean, I imagine they'll use, well, I don't know for sure, but I'd hope they would use some of the same mechanics because I love that fighting system.
I imagine it's going to be almost identical to the previous games.
Right.
Just now with a different story and possibly some campy references.
Right. Right. Well, the story sounds, I guess the story that they're going for is that it's Christmas Eve or something like that, and there are 8 of the best assassins in the world that are trying to kill Batman.
I think the Christmas Eve part is the handheld game.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. There's like a companion handheld game or something, right?
Yeah. It just happens to be snowy that. In the console version.
Right. Well, that means it's Christmas Eve, of course.
Yeah.
You know what else it does snow? Dark Souls. Oh.
Does it?
I actually don't know for sure. I'm sure there's got to be a snowy area of some sort in Dark Souls. If you know the answer, send a tweet. TatNightyourBeard.com.
I think, like, the handheld one is supposed to be a Metroidvania, which kind of disappoints me, because that, like, that's them essentially saying, hey, we don't really want to do Metroidvania for console games anymore.
No.
Which I think Asylum was better than City.
Yeah, but they want to have the linear story and giant set pieces.
It's just the open world. Like, there's no big difference except that City felt lost while Asylum didn't.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. City, while fun, did feel all over the place. And Asylum was much more guided. So it's, which I guess, of course, if you go open world, that's the issue you run into sometimes.
Also, I mean, like, making an open world game is such a balancing act. You shouldn't do it unless you have an idea that can only be done in the open world. Like, GTA can't be done if you made it a linear level-based shooter.
Yeah.
It would be a different game. It would be boring. But the open world is what makes that game. Sleeping Dogs couldn't be done as a not open world game. Arkham kind of can because it was, and it was better that way.
Yeah, I mean, because that is a very, very guided story. Yeah. With, you know, with like Grand Theft Auto, they don't really. I don't know. The story is, well, okay. Aren't, you know, you can just run around and you'll be fine if you then just, you know, maybe pick up a story mission or something like that.
I think we caught a Mark Bradshaw.
We did catch a Mark Bradshaw. Mark Bradshaw.
Hey, guys, what's up?
It's markbradshaw.com.
It's markbradshaw.com. How are you guys doing?
Good. We're going to take a break.
Oh, great. Well, screw you guys, too.
Bye, markbradshaw.com.
Bye.
We're back, and we got Mark Bradshaw. He's joined us. Guys. He's back from the grave.
I'm back from the grave. I rose from my grave. Then I realized, oh, this is a terrible game.
Did you wise from your grave?
I can do it in the actual Sega Genesis synth voice.
Do it.
That's how.
No, that's just sense. that's your 8 gigabytes of DDR5 voice.
Oh, okay. Hang on a second. By the way,
it's amazing.
What's that?
I said, by the way, that's amazing. That was amazing at the time.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
It was kind of.
My Genesis is talking.
It was, and then the first time your SNES talking, you're just, this Genesis stuff is horrible. This is, oh God. Why are we wasting time on this?
Until you got a World Series baseball with the play-by-play that was, in retrospect, awful, but at the time it was unbelievable.
Yeah, they did that, and they did the Joe Montana Sports Talk Football. And you had to know, like, 90% of the cart was just those horrible digital samples.
Mm-hmm.
And not actually the game itself. So
we have been playing Nights Into Dreams for this edition of the Illiterates Book Club. And that's one of the reasons we specifically wanted to bring Ryan Bloom on, because he is a veritable tome of most things Sega. I think. Is that how you would describe yourself?
Kind of.
are you at least a veritable tome of things Knights and Sega?
Well, there are lots of crazy Knights fans out there, but
Sonic.
Yeah,
Sonic.
Well, yeah, of course.
how many Knights fans can there possibly? I can't imagine there's a huge subculture of Knights.
Go to knightsintodreams.com.
I can't imagine that'll end well.
No, it won't.
Is that the unofficial fan site?
Yeah.
Okay. Mark, all you need to know is that in canon, there is an androgynous character at the center of this game who takes on both male and female form at different points of the game. So you know already there is a ridiculous fan fiction community out there.
That is a very good point. When I was playing this game, I got the feeling this was like a game designed directly by Michael Jackson. Anybody else get that feeling during this? Not like
to me, it felt like it was they had an idea for a Sonic special stage, and they just didn't want to get rid of it despite there being no Sonic game, so they made Knights.
No, for me, it felt like they kind of came up with this idea based around what they could do with an analog controller.
Right.
And it feels more like Clockwork Knight to me, in the way that the camera moves around. But beyond that, I mean, it's like they had this one gameplay mechanic and they couldn't think of a way to make it work at all.
Oh, that's harsh.
Well, I mean, work as like a story. So they're just like, well, make it a dream.
I would join in, but I want to let Ryan at least make a token defense for Knights. Ryan, you love Knights. What do you love about Knights?
Well, the thing is, Knights has always been kind of a weird game.
Kind of.
It's a high school game. It's like there's no bones about it. It's just it doesn't explain itself at all.
No. I was gonna my definition of the game was gonna just was it's just gonna be two words. Just me saying mystery meat. Because I have no idea what the fuck at first.
Like, it took me 20 minutes to figure out, I'm supposed to get those blue things to hit that thing.
All right, sorry, go on, Ryan.
That's one of those things where I was playing it yesterday, and I was sitting here thinking, how did I figure out all of this stuff? How did I learn to play this game?
I was about to say, back then, the games came with a 30-page instruction manual.
I was going to say, maybe I should read a manual or something. Maybe that would have helped me out.
That's crazy, because like printed material with your video game? That's not. It's like I turn this thing on. It's like it had been a while since I played this game. Like I did play it for the Saturn, and I tried to convince myself this was on equal footing with Mario 64 and Crash Bandicoot. This is the biggest problem I have with this game. I'll go into it later. But I was during playing, I was like, this game is not explaining anything to me. Where is the fucking tutorial? And then I realized, I have become an enormous like coddled.
Everything you hate.
You're not coddled. It's just that everybody forgot what it used to be like. You didn't have a tutorial level because you spent the 20-minute car ride home tearing open your NES cardboard box and reading the manual while your parents drove. That was your tutorial level. It's not like games explain themselves any more than they used to. It's just now it's in the game instead of in a manual.
Well,
like you would never get a game today where the core objective is not explicitly told to you.
Well, this game exists in a weird middle ground between like arcade games and like full-fledged like normal games. Like if it was an arcade game, you would know it within the first 30 seconds, right? You'd have a joystick, you'd have a button, the button would be labeled spin, another button would be labeled whatever, and it would tell you exactly. It wouldn't tell you what you exactly need to do, but it would make sure you knew.
It would tell you on the marquee around the monitor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or there'd be a splash thing that says get orbs or get gems to defeat whatever the fuck that thing is.
Right. Or and simplify the game mechanic to just fly through the rings to keep your timer going. You know, they probably wouldn't do this whole thing where you've got to collect orbs. And also, there are stars that seem to do nothing. And flying through the rings, I guess, just increases your score, but doesn't help you.
Yeah.
Also, they never tell you that, like, the entire, like, core concept of the game is you should draw circles around things. Yeah. Like, that's extremely important, and you just don't know until you need to do it.
But, well, yeah, that, but then again, instruction manuals. I mean,
I was about to say, that's something that was, I remember that being explained in the instruction manual.
Nowadays, it would just be explained within 5 minutes. Oh, by the way, draw circles around enemies like Okami.
But no, you're absolutely right. Besides, besides the fact that I have my qualms with like tutorial stuff in modern games and coddling, I would have really liked it in this game. maybe that's because it's just so abstract.
It's really abstract.
Could have been like the tutorial screens in Neo Geo arcade games.
Yes, yeah. I would have taken that.
And it would take like 5 seconds. But it's in that weird period for Sega when they were still an arcade manufacturer, but they were still trying to do like full-fledged games. I mean, every once in a while they break out and do like a full-fledged like RPG, but that was a little bit different. It was like this and mascot platformers and arcade games. And this is like their first attempt to do something beyond mascot platformers or arcade games, I get the feel.
I don't know. It's so weird that it's so arcadey and it came out of Sonic Team. Like, this feels like an AM2 game, but it's not.
I mean, I guess the thing that they wanted to present this as this is the equivalent of Mario 64 or Crash Bandicoot. Not the same game, but this is their prestige piece, I guess.
Yeah. That's what it was sold at, yeah. This is sold as, yeah.
And if you play the game as that, it's going to be fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I started the game up and, like, I don't know, I guess I picked the boy and I was walking around and there were tiny trees. What? Like, I was a... God damn it.
You know, like, stupid. Like, the very first thing that happens is enemies will hit you and you don't know what that means.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, the first thing that happens...
You didn't know you had, and you... Yeah. The next time you try to avoid them and they just hit you in the air.
Yeah.
But and so I'm sorry. Walking around and there are like these tiny trees. I guess I'm like a giant. I mean, I understand it's a it's a dream world. And then there's that weird fucking dick arrow. Am I wrong?
Oh, yeah. The
fucking squiggly dick arrow.
Well, now the arrow is ruined for everyone. Congratulations.
That arrow blew my mind as a kid. I was like, holy shit, there's a thing that's not made of polygons that looks smooth. How is that happening?
It's a dick arrow.
Apparently now it is.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I'm sorry to ruin that for everybody. And then I walked into a thing and I became the gesture guy and I was flying. And the weird thing is, despite me feeling like I was sitting in the cockpit of an airplane, of like a Boeing 747, not knowing what the fuck, what was doing, what I was supposed to do, I can see the charm. Like I was like, man, you know, if I had played this when I was a younger kid, I would have really probably loved this game and kind of, you know, that would have been one of my, I don't want to say defining, but one of the games that I really kind of remembered.
There is a magic to Knights that doesn't become obvious until about like the third level, but it's there. Like, where Knights succeeds is where older Sega games like Sonic and Ristar kind of leaned into. Yeah. Shit's fucked up and enjoy it.
Yeah, it's got heart, which is not a lot of game companies can get right. Well, I'm sorry, Ryan. I feel like we're dogpiling on this game, and we invited you on here just to eviscerate your childhood dreams. please.
That's the thing. I remember hearing anecdotes back in the day from like Babbage's employees and stuff when Knights came out, it was one of the most returned games they had. That people would bring it back the next day complaining that it was too short or like oddly enough too Japanese.
It's pretty so damn Japanese.
Yeah.
I feel like it could stand to put out more games like Knights today.
Yeah.
Well, you know what though?
They
put out the Wii sequel, which is
oh
let's not talk about that.
Well, nowadays you would pay like 99 cents to get like 20 spheres, so you could blow up the orb. You just do that.
It kind of is a runner.
So there's, you know what? There's this really weird battle going on right now in like between iOS game developers that I think the release of Ridiculous Fishing kind of sparked. And it was the whole debate of, you know, if a game that is just a flat purchase and you buy it, and games that have in-app purchases. And so there's like this guy that's complying and is like, hey, I'm complying this list of games that don't have in-app purchases. And it's just this really weird battle. You know, people are saying, you know, oh, Ridiculous Fishing would have done it well if it had, you know, you could buy your gold and y'all are being hypocrites and some really, but anyways, I forget where I was.
Knights.
Ridiculous Memory. Fishing.
No, but you were saying
Ridiculous Fishing.
But no. Imran was saying they could stand to put out some more games like Knights.
Well, and they could stand to put out more games that take chances, but
sure, yeah.
That's the problem. The reason we want them to make more games like Knights is we want them to come up with things that are new at the time. Yeah. But if we keep saying that, Sega thinks we want another Knights sequel, and we sure as hell don't need another Knights sequel.
Well, really? I want them to make games that feel like they have heart.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, and that's what Knights have.
Character, something, personality.
I wanted to say there's this weird subset of games that I feel like people are like, oh, this is wonderful and you should play this, just because they're super fucking abstract and weird.
Yeah.
So like, take Proteus, for example, which don't get me wrong, is lovely to play and enjoy. But it's
hardly a game.
Right. And if it maybe looked different, then it would be different. And then like Sound Shapes.
Yeah.
Which is a thing that got like a lot of love. I guess it was at PAX or GDC, probably both. I don't know.
GDC had the award show.
Yeah, and it's being kickstarted. And as far as I can tell, it's just a thing that you yell at and you get some visuals on the screen. I think we're talking about a different game. Sound Shapes? Sound Shapes. What did you just say?
I'm saying Sound Shapes is a PSN game.
Yes, that's right. That's the Vita game. What's the name of the?
You're thinking of Yelly Colors. You yell and you get colors. That's Yelly Colors, right?
I'm looking at it. I'm trying to find it now. No, it's not Pulse.
Scream at iPhone game.
No, it was. Shit, I cannot. It was being kickstarted. I'm positive.
You're thinking of Lifeline for the PlayStation 2.
Yeah. Oh, damn it.
That's exactly what you're thinking.
You know, you could tell that game that you're dating the voice actress of the character that you're talking to, and then she goes, yeah, sure, whatever.
God damn it. Why can I not? Go on while I try to figure out
this. All right. While you're trying to figure it out, my biggest issue with Knights and Dream, you know, I can respect it for being like, it's difficult to explain exactly what it is or how people love it. You know, even Ryan can't really fully explain what makes it such a great game. My biggest issue with it was that either Sega's marketing or maybe it was the magazines at the time were trying to sell Knights being on par with Crash, with Mario 64.
Speaking of which, have you played Mario 64 yet?
No, I've never played Mario 64.
I figured it out. It's Sound Self. Sorry.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's really weird. But anyway, so my point is there's this weird subset of games that people like latch onto and crowd around.
Yeah.
I think just because they're weird,
or maybe not even a game, and
that's fine.
Yeah, that's perfectly valid.
And I think that may be a result of, as Imran was saying, you know, kind of wanting more things like Knights. If I can throw that into compare with you know Proteus, Sound Self, and other weird things.
Well, and the thing to keep in mind is, going off of what Mark said, Knights was kind of all Sega had for the Saturn push against Mario 64 at the time.
Well, was it ever confirmed that Knights is the reason why Sonic... what was that Sonic game called?
Sonic 3D Extreme?
No, the one that got canned with the fisheye view.
That was Sonic Extreme, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, is it confirmed that Knights is the reason that got canned? Like that, once the higher ups saw what Knights was capable of versus what Sonic was doing, they
kind of sort of. It's a long story, but basically, after Sonic and Knuckles, Sonic Team kind of abandoned Sonic. They didn't want to do Sonic games anymore. So it was left up to Sega of America to figure out, you know, what Sonic games are going to be coming out next. So they had this idea that they were going to push for the 32X and then for the Saturn that eventually became Sonic Extreme. And they wanted to use the Knights engine for Sonic Extreme. But Yuji Naka caught wind of this, and Yuji Naka's kind of a diva. He doesn't really like people messing with his stuff. So he threatened to quit if the Sonic Extreme team was allowed to use the Knights technology. So they had to come up with their own engine, their own tech, and they kind of ran out of time. And that's why Sonic Extreme was canceled.
It seems really unfortunate. Or it seems like a really bad match. Like, the Knights engine is based almost entirely around height maps.
Yeah. I don't know, I could see, like, playing those boss fights, you can see the idea of what they wanted to do there. Like, that's... a lot of them are very similar to the idea of, you know, a 3D Sonic on a locked plane fighting Robotnik.
Well, you know, there is... In Christmas Nights, there's a special mode. They didn't transfer it over to the Xbox Live Arcade version for whatever reason, but in the original Saturn version of Christmas Nights, there's a mode called Sonic Into Dreams, where you actually play as Sonic the Hedgehog running around a Knights level.
Can you fly?
No, you can't. That's kind of the bad thing.
Only Tails can fly.
Does he control as badly as the children do? Because god damn, those children control badly.
Even worse, because they jack his speed.
Imran hates not being able to control children.
Like, hang on, I actually have a video uploaded of Sonic Into Dreams. I'll link it in the Skype chat.
Yeah, we'll toss it in the show notes.
Boy, you had that immediately on hand.
Oh, he's good. What is NID15.com?
For me,
that was... Okay. NID15.com was the push for KnightsIntoDreams.com to get remade for Xbox Live Arcade and PSN and everything. And I guess it kind of worked.
Hmm. So I got to admit, that is garbage. One of the reasons why I wanted to try out Knights Into Dreams, because I would love to see Sega bring some more Saturn games to modern consoles.
Oh my god, this fucking camera.
They sent a lot of their Dreamcast and Saturn stuff to XBLA now.
Yeah.
So, of course, we still don't have like a good Daytona 2 or a good Scud Race. Those things were never translated.
I think it was Naga Oshi, I don't remember his name. He tweeted, like, right after Knights came out, that if Knights did well enough, they were considering doing Burning Rangers next.
Yeah. Huh. I want to see Last Bronx as a new console game.
Yeah, this looks like garbage.
Weird game.
Oh, God, this whole mechanic with the orbs and destroying the thing. Whoever thought that was okay?
And like my first instinct when I was playing that first level was, hey, I should probably avoid the thing that looks like it's a giant cage because I don't want to get in there.
Yeah. Oh, God, I know this is bad radio, but the 3D model of Sonic is just... It's terrible. It's okay. Well, now I see why they didn't do this in 3D. My god,
at the time,
yeah, I guess.
And it looks better than like Sonic R did.
Yeah, well, that's not difficult.
Well, there's
had amazing music.
So, the big problem with this is there's no physics in this at all.
Yeah,
like
so
Sonic,
you were just supposed
momentum.
To jump. Yeah, so you're supposed to jump through the hoops, you didn't even fly.
You can kind of jump through them if you try hard enough, like if you really believe in yourself.
Right. So this is basically like you're just walking around the zone like one of the kids.
Yeah, basically.
This feels sort of mean-spirited in light of that there's no other like real Sonic thing on the Saturn.
Yeah.
So I guess
here's kind of 20% of what you could have had.
I guess the arrow seems to conform to like the landscape, the geography.
No, it just looks like it did. Now you've ruined it.
No, it's just.
It's supposed to go up or down depending on where you're supposed to be. Where's it leading you to anyway, since there's no Knights?
Well, at first, it points you to whatever the nearest jewel is. And then once you have enough of those, it points you to the weird gold cage thingy.
Okay, see, that would have been useful, like, in the actual game.
Yeah, the biggest issue with Knights was.
just zooming out.
Yeah.
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 You're zoomed way too close in that game. Now when you play the HD version on XBLA, it's at widescreen, so it's not as bad.
It's not as bad, but you still have basically no idea what's coming ahead of you.
Yeah, you have to. There's no way to just like clear those guys out on feeling. You have to memorize what the tracks are to do well, which makes sense because this game is scored. It's basically an arcade game in that way. Yeah. It's like.
There's like combos and it's all about managing time properly.
You know what part actually like that feels so incredibly hacked together in last minute? There's this part in the third level where you're shot out of a cannon and it's like behind the behind knights and you're just going left and right. That feels so incredibly awful. Like there's no animation for bouncing off anything. So you just like hit a wall and it makes a boing sound and you just move to the right sort of.
Well, it's so also 1997.
Yeah, how are the boss fights supposed to work in this game? Because I got to the second time, and I just like flew into him and punched him.
Which one is the second boss?
The fish.
The same thing as the first boss.
The fish is confusing.
You hit him once with a missile launching thing, then race to the bottom and try to hit him again.
Basically, yeah, you have to like keep shooting back and forth across this tube. To hit him.
Yeah, that one was okay because you just fly through wherever you spot him, except that you get caught in these loops that you couldn't get out of.
Yeah.
But I found that what frustrated me the most about that game was going up against a boss, having no idea what's going on, dying.
Time's ticking down.
And then it gives you a hint. It's like, oh, well, thank you. For giving me a hint about what I am allowed or not allowed to do in this special level, but then you've got to do the whole level
that,
over.
Put that arrow to use. Put the dick arrow to use. That's all I wanted. I just wanted a useful dick arrow.
Stop trying to make episode titles happen, Brian.
I'm not even trying, man. They just come out naturally. I'm a
like the dick arrow.
I'm a dictionary.
So yep. Sonic, and so Nights in the Dreams was basically my realization that the Sega that I knew in the Genesis days might be gone, or that something horribly wrong has happened to Sega.
I feel like that's too harsh.
Well, if this was their answer to Mario, if this is the best they could do with the hardware to the Saturn, then they were screwed. That's the impression I got.
They could have done better with the Saturn hardware than Nights.
Well, you know, Mark, you're kind of right in a way. This would probably be after, what was his name? Tom Kalinske was out?
Yeah.
So, I always remember this story about how when they were making Sonic, about the original idea Sonic Team came up for Sonic, was that he was in a rock and roll band and that he had to save this woman named Madonna, a human woman, because they weren't in love.
Uh-huh. Like,
so then Sega of America came in and they were like, this is a bad idea. You guys need to fix Sonic. So they fixed Sonic and they made him more marketable. Knights is kind of like what would happen if they didn't make Sonic marketable.
Okay, yeah, this is if Japan won that argument.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
I don't know, I like the crazy LSD-esque theme of Knights.
Yeah.
Like, but that's the best part of it to me.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, it's great, and it's what makes it gives that unique flavor, but we're looking back on it 17 years later. There's no way you can market this thing, this very short game, this very contained game, versus Mario, which is this incredibly realized 3D world.
Well, Mario caught everybody with their pants down, really, because everyone's like, okay, I didn't know you could do this, but... Sure, whatever.
And this is possibly Sega's fault or Sega's marketing fault, trying to put it on that same level. The moment you tried to do that, you realize, okay, Sega can't match Mario, at least not with this hardware that they're stuck with for the time being.
The Saturn is basically Sega trying out ideas that actually came to fruition with the Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Well, some of them.
Well, they came to fruition. They weren't necessarily successful.
Yeah. I think they got some good ideas. I don't think they came back into being something that I would recognize again until like the first run of Xbox One games. Like, I wasn't back with Sega until, say, Gun Valkyrie came out. I love, because Gun Valkyrie seemed like a Sega game to me. Nothing past from this point until that point, it did seem like weird experimentation sort of thing, and not something I could enjoy aside from like the arcade conversions, and even those became very sparse. Like,
but I love weird experimentation Sega.
The college
years. Fine, but that's also the Sega that went bankrupt.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They went bankrupt doing what they love. Like, would anybody else make Samba de Amigo?
Probably not.
And put like two maracas with everything.
You could market a new Gearbox.
We always complain about Nintendo not trying new things and always making the same like four or five or six games all the time. Well, Nintendo is still in business and Sega is having to make stuff for Nintendo.
That's because when they have really stupid things, they get canceled. Like the vitality sensor.
Or they make those stupid things and they just sort of happen and nobody really cares, like Donkey Konga. Or Jungle Beat, which is kind of like the idea of Knights, but done well. Like, if Knights were more like Jungle Beat, if like a linear platformer, I think it would have succeeded a lot better. But oh well.
So Knights in Your Dreams. That's a great game.
It is. It's weird and charming and super weird.
And Japanese.
You could market it as the Dark Souls of 2.5D flight sims.
That's true. It doesn't explain anything to you. It just puts you out there.
Exactly.
So it's a lot like Dark Souls.
And there's life in the game. Is there?
It's basically Dark Souls.
So yeah. Imran and Ryan, you guys are, I guess, the only two people on this podcast with Saturns?
Yes, I guess.
Yeah, probably.
I only ever had a friend that had one when I was living in South Africa. And
So what are the must-play games?
I don't know.
So the thing is, most of those games are on dwarves. XBLA right now. What's that?
Angry Dwarves. That game is shit.
It's Three Dirty Dwarves. Come on.
Was it? Oh, Three Dirty Dwarves? Okay.
You're thinking of Angry Birds.
Angry Dwarves was Kevin Snow's
project. We now need to make a game called Three Dirty Birds.
See, I almost want to get one just to see some of the failures that I never got to see when, you know, it was new. Like, I want to try out that original release of Virtua Fighter that I only saw in Electronics Boutique.
It had the best version of Mega Man X4.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And if you had a RAM cartridge, you could have the best home console version of X-Men versus Street Fighter.
Oh god, that's right. It had a RAM cartridge.
Did they sell those RAM cartridges separately, or did it come with a game?
Yeah, they sold separately. You just couldn't find stupid things.
Like, I don't feel like I've ever seen one out in the wild.
You wouldn't, because everyone that played those has like a 4-in-1 cart that has the RAM cart, the SNK RAM cart, the save cart, and something else, and the import cart.
Yeah.
No one just has a RAM cart because they're stupid.
The problem with the Sega Saturn library... Oh, I'm sorry. Keep going.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
The problem with the Sega Saturn library is a lot of those games are really rare now. Yeah. Towards the end of the Saturn library, Bernie Stolar basically said, nobody wants a Saturn. We'll just make like 10 copies of Panzer Dragoon, Saga, and whatever. So...
I love Stolar because like he made this crazy decision that, if we kill the Saturn faster, then Sega's going to be forced to give us a Dreamcast. Which is just like, you can hear somebody making stupid ideas the second you read about that. Like, if there were a sound associated with it, it's Stolaring.
Nice.
I thought you were going to say you could hear the echoes of someone very far in the distance going, no! Stop!
Well, you're in a role. Stolaring, Turok.
Solarizing.
What's next, everyone?
I don't remember if it was before or after, but Solar went to Mattel and then canceled all their games and then immediately left. Like, that's the only thing he did.
What the fuck?
And then he like threw up two double birds to everyone in the lobby and said, fuck y'all!
I remember that because I really wanted...
He threw up two double birds?
The quad bird, my friend. Don't ask how he did it.
That's amazing.
I really wanted Robotech 64 and he canceled that game.
Oh.
Jerk.
But Matt, you're talking about like games that you would buy a Saturn for. But Ryan was correct in that the stuff that you would buy a Saturn for is stuff that's going to be very difficult to find. Like Panzer Dragoon Saga, we're probably never going to see that on XBLA because it's a huge RPG. But that's the game you need to play, or Panzer. I don't think the second Panzer Dragoon got ported, but that was the best one.
Panzer Dragoon 1 was a freebie included in Panzer Dragoon Orta for the Xbox, which is backwards compatible for the 360, I think, but I'm not entirely sure. But no, Panzer Dragoon 2 has never been on anything but the Saturn.
Yeah. Which is a shame, because that is a beautiful realized world. I love that universe that Panzer Dragoon inhabits, and Sega never touched on it again.
So the secret best Saturn game is Shining Force 3, because it's the most crazy fucked up thing that you would only expect Sega to do. That they released the game, there's three versions of Shining Force 3, like three, semi-sequels. Yeah.
There's three parts.
And they only released the first part in America.
Oh, good.
Which means that you can't actually, like, get the big climactic ending.
Yeah, and Sega never, so Sega of America like never...
Yeah, they Mass Effect that, didn't they? Oh, sorry.
Also, apparently, Shining Force 3 for the Saturn has one of the worst game dubs in history. I've never played it for myself, but it comes up a lot in those conversations.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I have it. I've played it. I can't remember anything about the dub. The Saturn Library also has Shadows of Mystaria, but another game called Mystaria. I forget the title of it. But
Mists of Pandaria?
No. That's the Panda SRPG.
It's a Saturn version of Myst.
The realm.
Well, now you've just reminded me that Baku Baku exists, and I want more of that.
Yeah, Baku Baku.
Oh man, I loved what's Baku Baku.
It's a match 3 game, I think.
Yeah,
with
it's
animals.
It's kind of like Puzzle Fighter.
I remember screenshots for that in Die Hard Game Fan way back when, and thinking, "Oh my god, the Saturn is so powerful!" Without realizing that these are rendered sprites like Donkey Kong Country. It's like, wow, everything looks so smooth and perfect. So, yeah.
He's so real. You know what I'm talking about. Baseball.
I cannot believe how amazing I used to think Saturn games when I looked at stuff in a Game Fan.
I appreciated their 2D art. Like,
yeah.
Like Three Dwarves. Dirty Dwarves? That was it.
Yeah.
That looked nice. It just...
Well, that's the thing. Yeah,
those dwarves always just so dirty.
The Saturn was built as a 2D machine first, because Sega figured that trends would continue from the Genesis, where, you know, we just want more colors, bigger sprites. And then the PlayStation came along, showed everybody like amazing consumer level 3D, and Sega was like, uh-oh.
Makes you picture that part of The Simpsons where Disco Stew is like, if these disco trends continue into the 80s, we're going to be fine.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, specifically, there was a...
Yeah. Was it, Mark?
Well, specifically, there was a press conference held by Sony back when they were first showing off the PlayStation. And they were just... And it was completely bullshit renders that they were showing off. They said, this is what the PlayStation was going to be capable of. And the guys at Sega looked and said, we're screwed. We got to redo everything. So they put like 7 damn chips in the Saturn.
The most amazing part of that system war is the... I think it was an E3 or a CES where Sega announced the price for the Saturn was going to be $499.
Yeah.
Or was it $399? Something like that. And then... The Sony conference is right after that. Sony rep comes up to stage, says $199, then leaves.
Yeah. And Sega just died. On that very day, in that very moment, Sega died.
I remember, wasn't their response to that to like bring it out crazy early but not tell anyone?
Yes.
It's now.
That was the Steve Jobs thing, except they didn't have the cash of Steve Jobs. So it just ended up pissing off a bunch of retailers. Yeah. And also they didn't tell developers.
Well, here's the crazy thing. That wasn't their response. That was their plan, because they had a warehouse full of them. This was their plan all along. Just a surprise launch with 3 games.
I don't think Heart killed Sega.
So I'm watching this video of Three Dirty Dwarves, which looks rad as fuck, I might say. But they come upon what I think is like the first boss or something. And he has 2 sets of arms, making him capable of... 2 double birds. The double
bird. So that's
where
Stiller got the idea.
Yeah, from 3 Dirty Dwarves. Oh man, the Dirty Dwarves just merged into a giant mecha dwarf.
Was Guardian Heroes, did that ever get released to XBLA?
Yeah, yes. That's on Xbox Live Arcade.
Okay.
It's great because if you have an open game, somebody can just join, use up all your game overs, and leave.
Oh, that's brilliant. Awesome. I like that.
I think Radiant Silver Gun is also on Xbox Live Arcade now.
Yeah, I think Treasure's making a concerted effort to port all their stuff up.
Yeah, those assholes. I hate them.
This is why you shouldn't invest in an industry until you know that it'll always be, you know, rare.
Oh, it was rare until this stupid digital thing happened.
I'm looking at a video of Daytona USA for a Saturn. I totally forgot that draw distance was a thing.
Yeah.
Crap. There was never a good Daytona.
The Saturn version was really good.
No, it wasn't. It was.
Is Daytona the Rolling Star?
Yes, it was. Now the Sega Saturn version of Sega Rally was really good.
Fuck, yeah. I need to make that my alarm when I wake up in the mornings. The Rolling Star.
So, anything else about Saturn, or do we want
nice
to
use Saturn?
Fighters Mega Mix.
That game was rad.
That was like Sega's big crossover where they had Fighting Vipers, Virtua Fighter, Last Bronx, and Sonic the Fighters all in one game.
Also the Hornet car from Daytona USA.
Yeah. And Pepsi Man, if you lived in Japan, I think.
It's the Dark Souls of crossover games.
Also, Cactus Dude. I don't know where Cactus Dude came from, but there was
a Cactus giant Dude. Balloon. Wait, Cactus shaped Dude? Like a bear.
Is it the like Cactus the Cactor from Final
some
Fantasy?
RPG, and I don't know which one.
Neither did Sega. They just
Cactor
started
from Final. Is it the cactus guy that has like
no?
One
it's not
arm
that cactus.
Arm... It's not that.
This is different. This is a different cactus. It's a Latino cactus. Yeah, it wasn't the same as the Amigo cactus.
And how do you know that, Mark?
Because he was labeled, he was a Spanish cactus. It was clear he was a Spanish cactus.
Okay, it was clear, or it was labeled.
No, it was clearly labeled as a Spanish cactus. He had a listen. I don't know exactly
was
how it worked out, but
label.
Okay, so it doesn't like say Spanish cactus in the game when you select it, but
so it was
he was
to
clearly
you.
Hispanic.
I get spam Spanish. Email all the time asking me to if I want to order some Spanish cactus.
Saturn also had Dead or Alive, which is notable for the same thing Dead or Alive is most notable for now.
Breasts?
Yep.
That's kind of remarkable for the set for the hardware of that era, though.
Yeah,
the Saturn version was apparently really good too. I remember like people saying like, "Yeah, it's arcade perfect."
Well, yeah, because it's based on Virtua Fighter, so they could do that.
Yeah, it was made on AM2 hardware, I think.
Yep. Yeah,
I don't know if that was gibberish or not.
No, it Model 2.
There we go.
Model 2C, I think it's one of the only ones that's properly emulated.
I think all Model 2 games are emulated now.
Are they?
Yeah, like didn't they make a big thing about how Model 2 games are coming to XBLA?
Yeah, they're done basically now.
Well, no, they're not because there's still Manx TT. There's still that Mercedes Benz racer that they never translated. I think Super GT, something like that. There was a one. It was
the Jalico one.
No. It's a Sega one. It's Model 2, but it was all like Mercedes and BMWs.
Touring Car Championship.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Okay.
That was an roller. Yeah.
Well,
also, I remember being super excited to play Die Hard at the arcade because I had just seen the movie.
Nice.
Die Hard Arcade's amazing.
I know, but it's not Die Hard.
That wasn't Model 2, was it? That was SVT?
More like Hardcade.
The second one might be Model 2. I'm not sure. I know I've emulated, I've played it. One of those two Die Hard Arcade games.
Nightjubeer.com does not condone the use of emulation software unless you legally own a copy of the game.
Yes.
Totally so there is surviving hardware to play any of this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, Die Hard Cade.
So that was the game where you and a partner would like race up to the roof and then there'd be an explosion and then for some reason you'd fight. Like that was it, right?
Why are you trying to hurt me, girl?
All I remember from Die Hard Arcade or Dynamite Deka as it was called in Japan.
Well, hold on, what?
Dynamite Deka.
Dynamite. Okay. It was Dynamite Cop. I think that's what they brought it out for the Dreamcast as.
Yep.
Was Dynamite Cop. It had this kind of branching pathway system where I don't really remember now. But I remember at one point I was trapped in a dungeon and I was fighting horribly racist black like tribal guys.
Like, oh god, I gotta find that.
You weren't fighting Germans?
This is SVT, not Model 2.
Huh.
Which also works in MAME.
Why has Virtual Cop never been like, there needs to be a revival of that?
That got a PC release. That was
Did
pretty
it?
Good. Yeah,
I remember being so jealous of that game because I wanted it really badly.
Bring Virtual Cop to the Oculus Rift.
Like, how were those games never just ported to the Wii for some reason? Oh, wow, that's really racist.
Yeah.
It's only racist because you know you're racist for thinking of, wow, that's
well, racist. I'm also a black guy fighting other black guys, so that's not racist, right?
It's like Skullamania without irony.
God, he looks like a humanoid form from the Lawnmower Man. Like, the proportions and stuff.
It's Brad Paisley's version of the Bronx.
Oh, it was House of the Dead that I must be thinking of. That, like, it was a light gun shooter that wasn't Virtua Cop.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the superior version. Like, it was way better than Virtua Cop.
And then there was Lost World Arcade, which was like House of the Dead, but better because it had dinosaurs in it.
So you mean worse, because House of the Dead had vampires and, like, ghosts and, like, ghost bats. It was way better.
Dinosaurs are better than Dracula's.
Do they suffer like G did?
Oh, man, that G, he suffered so bad. I can't believe how much he suffered.
All right, we've been talking about the Saturn for way too long.
Yes, we have. Imran, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Mario 3D Land because I just got a 3DS XL and I figured that game's going to be more comfortable. I don't think I like that game as much as New Super Mario Bros. U.
Bad.
I can see that.
Like, what I like about Mario is, like, the way Mario 3D Land exists is it feels like it wants me to play it like a 2D Mario, but if I do, I'm going to die. And if I play it like a 3D Mario and sort of meander through, it's a lot better, but I'm so used to the kind of speed of New Super Mario U at this point.
I was going to say, it sounds like you really enjoy the kind of the time trial aspect of NSMBU.
I want to dash through and just, like, barely make it under something. And
did you play In Momentum?
No.
It was on my top games for, I guess, 2011 maybe. Well, anyways, if you find yourself getting into that sort of, like, time trial stuff, you might enjoy it. But, I mean, it's not Mario, which might be one of the main appeals for you.
I want to play that game like I play Meat Boy, and if I do, then it leads to horrible, horrible death. Like, I had 90 lives, and now I have 50. Because every time I tried to, like... On New Super Mario U, if you hit the shoulder button, you do a little spin, and that, like, helps you barely get a platform. If you do that in this game, you just kind of plummet to your death.
Oh, nice. It's the pound button.
Yeah.
So how is this in relation to the actual 2D Mario that came out for the 3DS, the golden coin, the one where you're just collecting coins constantly?
That's sort I haven't of like, played that
one. Oh, okay. Because that seemed like a speedrun sort of thing, though.
I mean, maybe it is. I heard the level design's not great, but...
Yeah.
If it ever gets cheap, I'll probably pick it up and try it. I don't want to say that I'm not saying that I dislike 3D Land. I think it's a really good game. It's just maybe playing it in close proximity to Super Mario Bros. U is not great.
Yeah. See, so for the portables is the best one. Would you say that?
Yeah, certainly.
To me, New Super Mario Bros. 3D Land is kind of what I wanted New Super Mario Bros. To be. I like that it's this kind of more dangerous game where it doesn't feel like it's holding your hand or trying to prevent you from dying. Mm-hmm. There's all these platforms everywhere, and if you jump at, like, just 2 degrees wrong, you fall to your death, and I kind of like that.
I mean, that...
Sounds like you,
I would like that if there were just more mobility options. Like, if I really felt that me jumping 2 degrees wrong was absolutely my fault.
Yeah.
And not because there was a platform covering me.
Yeah, that would have been a much... I feel like games that require that sort of precision aren't really so great with that circle pad.
Basically what I'm saying is, like, the Dark Souls of Mario.
I was going to say that. I'm glad you said it, though. Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
So I've been playing Magic the Gathering.
Nerd.
Which I've never played before.
Okay, now we're talking about, like, the computer simulation of the card game and not, like, some kind of, like, okay, like,
correct.
Adventure
yes, but
game.
My brother has played it. Like, he actually, you know, bought the real cards and stuff, and him and some of his friends played it. And he bought me the computer version, because one of the things that was always intimidating for me was the fact that I could, you know, maybe not own a set of cards and it would be shitty, you know. It was kind of a price barrier, and I've been really enjoying it. I completely missed the Magic the Gathering craze when it was, you know, I guess in its stride, but my brother and I have been playing a lot of that, and I've been enjoying it. It's a fun almost kind of puzzle solving card game, but it does have its issues. Have you played Magic, Mark?
Oh yeah, I spent an extraordinary sum of money on Magic.
I seem to remember you saying that. Yeah. Well, specific to the computer version of it, my brother and I play a lot of co-op, and I guess there's a mode called Two-Headed Giant where you and a friend go up against, you know, two other people. And so my brother and I usually play against the AI.
Okay.
And the AI just outright blatantly cheats. Like, they just they will just pull the exact card that they need to counter you exactly, and just consistently. They will always get exactly what they need. They always have land.
Oh, they got a counterspell.
Yeah, exactly. And so last night, my brother and I were up until 2 a.m. trying to beat Krenko and Gruul, these two motherfuckers. So there's that. And then also in this, in the Two-Headed Giant mode, there's a timer. There are timers in this kind of card, you know, emulation of a card / board game. And it's really shitty because, like, if you cast a spell that lets you sort through a deck and grab a card you want, if the time runs out, you don't get anything.
How much time do you have to complete a turn?
It's not a lot. It's like maybe 30 seconds. And you have to like look at cards and figure out which one you want. So and there's no way to turn it off, which is really, really shitty.
That's a stupid thing, because that's absolutely not present in the real life card game.
Exactly. And that part is a little unfortunate. I mean, we kind of deal with it and we get frustrated time to time, but that's a fun game. It's a fun game. Yeah.
It's a fun game. The only thing that would put me off of playing like the computer version of it is the same thing that I walked away from the physical version. There, you would just have to spend so much money to keep current. Like if there was just like a draft, or it's just like there was just games where you just buy like a starter draft and do that, like once a month or once a week, I'd probably be into that.
So here's the thing, and I'll buy you the game just if you think you would play it. But you can pay to unlock all of the cards.
Of the cards?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like every single deck that they put out in real life. I'm pretty maybe. I don't know if they keep it up. Okay. But obviously all the computer versions are consistent. So you'll never run into someone who has something that you can't get.
Okay.
But you can actually unlock all the cards just from playing the game, which is really nice. So you can pay and unlock, or you can play through and unlock them. So there is kind of a campaign mode.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so you should join my brother and I.
I would be too much into it. Like I could easily see myself falling back into that hole. But yeah, I would do that.
I'm amazed how much. I think it's only $9 on Steam.
Okay, and you can buy like booster packs and stuff.
You can buy booster packs, but you can also unlock them in the game through the game. So that's, I've been playing a lot of that and enjoying it. It's a pretty good version. Aside from, you know, the AI and timer problems when you're battling the AI, but of a kind of computer game. And it's really fun because my brother and I get to, you know, hang out and cast some spells and stuff. So I recommend it if you, it's almost like a puzzle game. So it's fun.
Yeah. So Tomb Raider 2013 was $35 on Amazon download. So I finally bought that. That's some Uncharted going on right there.
Yeah, it is the best Uncharted game since Uncharted 2.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, I kind of like it. The set pieces aren't as good and it doesn't have as much personality as Uncharted 2 because it's like it's Nathan Drake and his jokes versus seeing Lara just have the shit kicked out of her every like 30 seconds. But it's like just as a game, I think it's better than Uncharted 2 because it's a unified world. Like you can like go from one. It's not like just broken up missions. I've gone through like 40% of it right now. The collection stuff is kind of weird in this game because you can, and it's full of collectible stuff, but it's really easy to find the map to show you where all the collectible stuff is.
Yeah.
So at the end of that, the trick isn't finding the collectible stuff, it's finding how to get to the collectible stuff, which is interesting in and of itself, but it also kind of eliminates some of the discovery aspect to that.
It seems like just a bullet point they put out.
It does, and some of the stuff is just kind of ridiculous. It's like this pile, it feels like it's piling. I say you have the GPS set, and you have the relic set, and you have the document set, and you have the specific stuff in every zone. Like you got to shoot the lanterns, you got to light up the Buddhas or whatever. And just it just seems like just stuff upon stuff upon stuff to distract you from the idea of actually playing the game.
It, to me, it would be a lot better if there was a reason for, like, when you first get the first GPS cache, Laura's like, well, somebody clearly left this here, I wonder why. But then you get each following one, and there's no, like, there's no progress on that mystery, so I just didn't bother to get the rest.
Yeah. See, I just thought that was some fourth wall breaking. Somebody must have wanted me to find this. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah.
I was legitimately thinking that at the end of it, when you collect all of them, that you'd find the jerk who left all that stuff there, and then you'd have
that
a conversation.
That certainly would be an achievement.
Yes, it would be an achievement. You know what? That's something you could have in your trophy room. Get it?
See, I was kind of hoping like the best way to do that is have gather all these GPS caches, and then you get to like wherever they're pointing.
Yeah,
and it turns out that it's like the first room of the Tomb Raider, and there's like a bear or a dinosaur skeleton in there, and that would be like a cool little thing.
I'd be into that. I'm not sure if that's actually what happens, but I'm pretty sure it's not.
But I mean, there's no impetus for me to finish it, so
And just like the part where like people are complaining that she turns into a psychopathic killer, I'm fine with that. The thing that bugs me is that she originally had like this World War II era like grease gun, and then she got some antlers. And now she's got an AK-47. And I'm not sure how that works. That's more fourth wall breaking to me than she deciding she can kill people at will. I don't know. She's just an 18-year-old girl. When did she become a gunsmith? Is there a point on there we can explain how she did? I don't know how to make a muzzle break for a pistol. Really? Oh, okay. Well, that's weird. All right. Cool.
Well, she's like 26 or something, but...
Oh, I thought she was like 18 or some shit.
Okay. They explained that she just finished college or her post-grad or something.
Okay.
But they show later, or maybe they already saw it and you missed it, but she was raised by the hunter guy.
Okay. So maybe so. That's understandable. So she was raised by the hunter guy, then she'd have some like base like survival skills, which is odd because she's wearing this tank top and she's always wet and miserable and shivering, and she's not thought to take someone's coat.
Also,
of the many, many people she's killed that day.
You raised a very good point about that rebar. You raised a very good point on Twitter about that rebar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She never did get that wound dressed.
The thing, like, that sort of thing is, I'm pretty sure at some point they've indicated that all that stuff, like wounds and food and all things like that, were mechanics that people focus tested out. Because they didn't like having to actually survive.
Then they should have put that out of it. Because I can already tell that she's in deep shit because of what else is going on. Like, she falls like 20 feet onto a concrete floor. Okay, she's fine. She doesn't need to fall 20 feet on a concrete floor and also have her kidney stabbed by a stack of rusty-ass rebar and then walk like 100 miles to end it. You know? It's...
Yeah, like, I mean, that could have been solved with an animation of her taking out the first aid kit when she gets back to camp and wrapping her abdomen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where they want to shock value you, and they just didn't, like, they didn't think it through very well. Like, in Mass Effect 2, when Shepard just dies for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, that, it's the same basic idea. They want something to hook you in at the beginning and make you feel shocked, I guess, to keep going through. But... I agree. They should have just had, like, there's a campsite maybe 20 feet from there.
Yeah.
Like, so what do you think, like, about this game, that if you keep subtitles on, do you, either of you guys playing with subtitles?
I'm not. No.
I'm playing with subtitles because I often have to turn the TV down just because I don't want to wake the baby.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like it's ruining, like, parts of the game? Like, the very first guy you meet is chasing you and you can't, like... He's not intelligible. You can't understand what he's saying, but the subtitles say exactly what he's saying.
Oh, and the first time you approach the camp with what's-her-face sitting around the campfire and Matthias?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can clearly read their conversation, but I couldn't hear them yet.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And, like, the first guy, he says something like, I just want to help you, and then he just sort of dies.
Yeah.
But you can't actually hear that. So that sort of ruins a little bit of the mystery right there.
You know, I've had the same problem with games with subtitles, and basically I just turn subtitles off specifically because of this.
Yeah.
Well, I turn it on because sometimes I have to play without sound.
Yeah.
But oh, everything is subtitled. Like, there's a subtitle for Laura grunts, or like distant sound of deer. It's like, don't give me that.
It like it kind of ruined Dead Space 2 a little bit too, because like there's audio logs where you're not supposed to be able to hear everything. Like the creepiness is in the fact that it's missing words, right. But the subtitle just shows the entire script for it.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, that was one of the things that bothered me. I was curious how you guys thought about it.
I just use headphones, so I'm not bothering about it when I listen. Yeah.
So yeah, overall game, what do you guys think so far?
Like I said, I'm enjoying it more than I enjoyed Uncharted. Uncharted certainly has better set pieces to it. I think at just pure gameplay, it's better. But then again, it's learning a lot of the lessons from Uncharted. I do like the fact that there were just so many different paths to get to one area to the next. As like the big areas are very open. Like there's narrow corridors between these areas. But once you're inside an area, you can do whatever you want to get from one spot to the next. That seemed very, very nice, very creative. I like that.
Yeah, part there's one part early in the game when you're trying to escape the guys for the first time, mm-hmm. and everything's burning around you, and you come up to these two guys who are discussing something, and a little hint comes up and tells you can use an arrow to distract them, but it doesn't tell you where you should focus their attention, and there's at least three paths through that area.
Yeah.
So you can basically focus them on anything you want to and then take one of the other paths, but you've got to decide which way to go.
But you're probably just
scratching the guy in the head.
Yeah. Yeah. I made them look away so I can shoot them in the back.
Yeah. There's a point like later in the game where you guys haven't gotten to yet, where it actually starts being a little bit more self-aware of the fact that he's killing a whole bunch of people,
mm-hmm.
oh, which God. That's where it started to actually sort of click with me better. But before, when it's kind of like cartoon parody, it's not that great.
Yeah, I don't
tell you how much these games frustrate me in that, like, even the worst killers you can imagine killed, like, 10 people in their entire serial killing career.
And it took them, like, 2 years to do that.
Yeah, and then in every game you play, you kill, like, 10 people to get through the tutorial.
Yeah. And usually it's people just minding their own damn business. It's this guy's job to stand in this room with the machine gun. And it's like, you're the asshole who's in there killing them.
You could probably get away from these people by getting into the jungle and hiding, except no, you're restricted to this narrow path where they're all standing looking at you. So you have to kill them.
Yeah, the whole disconnect thing, it doesn't bother me anymore because I realize the absurdity of it. It's just, it's a game.
It's chess or checkers. You're removing the pieces from the board. You're not killing people.
I don't think that... Well, then again, we've just played Bioshock Infinite, so there is a way you can make an emotional impact for that, but you have to go out of your way to do it. Certainly, I don't think... who did this? So was it Core that did this, or...
Crystal Dynamics.
Crystal Dynamics. I don't think Crystal Dynamics went out of their way to make that emotional impact just because of the sheer body count.
I don't know. It's hard to tell because like there's the game, it feels like so much was hacked away and replaced and over, because this is like a 5-year development cycle.
Yeah.
And well, I mean, it feels like at times there was like this was Far Cry 3 with Lara Croft in it.
Yeah. Well, there was also this game coming out called The Last of Us. And it's supposed to be like, all these murders are supposed to matter. It's like, it's you versus them. It's supposed to have an emotional impact. Well, it doesn't have emotional impact if I still have to kill everyone in this room to get forward.
Yeah.
We'll see how that works out.
Yeah.
If you can't just lure them into the other room and then sneak past them, then...
Yeah. It's like even like Deus Ex, Human Revolution, you can do that. Like, you don't have to kill these people. You want to for EXP. You don't have to.
I went all, like, no kill run that entire game. Then I discovered later that the first kill in the tutorial counts.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah.
So can I just throw this out there real quick?
Mm-hmm.
It's such a 90s week, because we talked about Knights, Crystal Dynamics, and Naughty Dog.
Yeah.
I did not, in the 90s, think that Crystal Dynamics or Naughty Dog would make it out of the 90s. Like, Crystal Dynamics is so old that you forget that they're called that because CDs were new.
Oh, wow. So they just called Crystal Dynamics because of that.
Brilliant. Yeah, like, their initials are very carefully chosen to be CD.
Didn't they make that game that was like a 2D platformer with a girl and a jester?
Pandemonium.
Yeah. That one, yeah.
Was that
I played that. I feel like it was. Maybe.
Sure. Naughty Dog made Way of the Warrior. Why not?
Rings of Power. I remember Rings of Power because it had a cheat code where you could see a lady's boobies on the Naughty Dog screen.
That's true. It, for the logo, it had boobies.
I'm sure there was a congressional hearing based on that alone.
All right, yeah, Crystal Dynamics did the PC version of Pandemonium. And I guess they didn't develop it themselves.
And, like, just looking through their catalog, until they hit Tomb Raider, like, their catalog is just, like, list after list of failed mascots. It's like, you had Pandemonium. Clearly, they were trying to do something with Pandemonium. Clearly, they were trying to do something with Gex. Or, like, Legacy. Like, any other company world would have done something more with Legacy of Kain. They just let Legacy of Kain drop. Fuck it. We don't need this vampire anymore. And until they hit on Tomb Raider and actually started selling things, then that's the only thing they ever made again was Tomb Raider games.
Pandemonium is hilarious because for the sequel, they decided to, like, sex up the little girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that.
Apparently, industry is a lot less mature from what I remember in the 90s.
The 90s were a horrible time.
Yeah.
And we'll have to explain this to our children at one point. Anyway.
All right. What, have you been playing anything else, Mark?
No, that's been pretty much it. I've been trying to, every once in a while, get back into Bioshock Infinite into 1999 mode. That's just really difficult. I think I'm done with that.
I feel okay that Bioshock Infinite is done for me.
Yeah.
Like, I just never need to play it again. Maybe in 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
But
when then DLC comes out, maybe I'll play it again. But it's just, yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. I'm fine with my emotional state with that.
Like, if there's, unless there's new content, it's not that I don't care. It's just, it's findable enough.
Yeah. And the game isn't good enough to really warrant playing it more, like the gameplay itself. So that's it.
How about you, Matt?
I've been playing Tomb Raider. That's about it. Tomb Raider and Knights.
So let's talk about those games.
No, we just talked about those games. So.
How about you, Ryan? Anything you've been playing?
I've been mostly just working on my games, but in like when I have time, when I can't be at the computer working on my games, I've been picking up where I left off in Castlevania Portrait of Ruin. I don't know if I really like that game. It's not it's not bad. I don't hate it, but I don't know. There's something off about it. Something off about the way the weapons spawn, the way enemies, how much damage they do when they hit you. It's just, it doesn't feel quite as, like, polished as I would like.
Would you like it?
I think they want to, like, they wanted to make some sort of change with Castlevania, and like every sort of change they made, it felt like some sort of half measure between the platformers and the Metroidvania stuff.
Yeah. That's exactly it, because enemies do kind of a lot of damage to you and you don't realize it. There's so many times where I'll be playing that game and just wandering through the castle, and I look up and I go, oh wait, I have like 10 health left. I need to find a save point or a healing item or something, because I didn't realize I was this close to death.
Now, Portrait of Ruin is the one where you have like the girl with the books and the vampire hunter, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That always seemed like a weird thing to be a Castlevania game. I felt that that would be a lot better if they could just remove it from Castlevania and just have it the girl with her weird book weapons. That they probably should have went in that direction and tried that.
She's like the most powerful character in that game by the end of it.
I imagine so, yeah.
It's really crazy that if you get her the right weapon, she basically two-shots bosses.
Wow. See, I'm in this rut where I don't know if I just found a really good weapon at the start of the game or what, but, like, most of this game, I keep finding weapons and they're all garbage. Like, I don't want to use any of them because I have this axe that does, like, crazy damage.
That's how those Metroidvanias always worked out for me. Like, I maybe use, like, three weapons through the entirety of Shadow of the Night. Symphony of the Night, rather.
And you'd only switch weapons if you needed one with a specific attribute.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, I think it's just that once you get, like, it has a bunch of weapons, but they satisfy, like, a certain playstyle. So once you find that weapon that satisfies your playstyle, you're probably just going to hang out with that, regardless.
See, I never see any reason in Symphony of the Night to use anything but the sword.
There's a lot of swords, which sword?
I mean, any sword, like, in terms of just weapon templates.
Yeah, but there are some that are faster than others. There's some that have longer range.
Some different arcs to them.
You usually settle into one for almost all cases, and then there's like this one enemy you come across where you need range.
Yeah.
Though, I mean, in fairness, those games are basically, let's buy time with these loot until you get your ultimate weapon.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like in Portrait of Ruin, that's the vampire killer eventually, but until then, it's just you know, use whatever gets you through.
And even the vampire killer, I kind of don't want to use because it's worse than that axe I've been using all the time.
Well, they power it up at some point, I think.
Well, yeah, like in the last hour of the game, you get the real vampire killer. But even that is weaker than this awesome golden axe I have.
Well, of course, it's a golden axe. It's going to be the best. It's a golden axe.
Unless it's a beast rider, then it's terrible.
Yeah, then you don't want to mess with that. So.
Yeah, I would like old Castlevania back.
Yeah.
Even a Portrait of Ruin game would be better than what we're getting.
That's exactly what I was thinking, yeah.
Because I was playing the demo of the other one. It's like the Mirror of Fate game.
Yeah.
Because frame rates have improved on 3DS across the board mostly, so that game is now vaguely playable. And it's kind of shitty. It's like frame it aside, like everything takes a billion hits and you can't see anything in front of you.
Because Mercury Steam kind of sucks. Can we just say
that? Yeah, I was not a fan of Lords of Shadow.
And the demo has your favorite kind of boss battle where you have to wait for the monster to run into a wall and then you jump behind him.
Oh, that guy. Or roll underneath him and the two tails look exactly the same.
Yep.
All right. I say we're done.
I think that's a good plan.
Yep.
This is Free to Play 28. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.